In recent weeks, the 49ers offense has taken some strides toward catching up with the defense. On Sunday, against the New Orleans Saints, it was all defense for the 49ers. The offense sputtered, but the defense had their backs in a 13-0 win over the New Orleans Saints. Carlos Ramirez, Jennifer Lee Chan, and I will break it all down as the 49ers extend their lead in the NFC West with a dominant defensive performance. All that coming up right now on 49ers Talk.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Mayocco.
Yes, this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. Matt Mayocco with Carlos Ramirez. And Carlos, the defense. Wow. Oh. I mean, the defense. What a performance.
I asked you a question on postgame live. I'm going to ask it again because now we're not prisoners of the moment. We've had some time.
And I won't be distracted by Jerry Rice coming up to me.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for those of you on the podcast, Jerry Rice showed up out of nowhere, and Matt had the presence of mind to interview Jerry for the postgame show. But now, with the calmness that time and separation gives, I'm going to ask you the same question, Matt. You've covered this team more than anyone here in the Bay Area. Is this the best defense since Ronnie Lott led the 49ers to multiple Super Bowl teams?
Yeah, I mean, through this point in the season, there's no holes you can poke in this defense. You know, they've had one bad game against the Kansas City Chiefs, but this has been dominant. 49ers win for the fourth consecutive game in which they've held the opposition scoreless in the second half. And of course, this time the 49ers pitched the shutout, and the last time the New Orleans Saints had been shut out was back in the final game of the 2001 season. That also by the 49ers. But I mean, I think Fred Warner came through with a huge game. Well, I guess we could probably just go down the list of all these 49ers defensive players. But Warner started it with the punch out, forced fumble of Alvin Kamara. That was recovered by Samson Ebukam. Later in the game, when the game was still hanging out there in the balance, it was Talanoa Hufanga with the forced fumble of Alvin Kamara, the first time he's
on the goal line.
On the goal line, recovered by Dre Greenlaw. And then Warner also had some pass breakups in the end zone. Nick Bosa with kind of the clinching, the coup de grace, you know, was
the game-winning sack.
And then the 49ers offense really didn't have much going on this entire game. But in the final 18 of the game, the offense said, defense, just watch the rest of this one from the sideline. So, yeah, it's hard to not say at this point in the season. Got a lot of football yet to play, but right now, I don't think there's really any way the 49ers defense could be playing too much better. For a while, the only thing you could poke a hole in was, well, they're not generating a whole lot of takeaways. Well, that changed on Sunday at Levi's Stadium, 49ers 13-0 over the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things this defense improved mightily on Sunday. One, red zone defense. Yep. They were 22nd overall in red zone defense performance. That was entirely flipped on Sunday. They allowed 0 points, and the Saints had five trips to the 49ers 40-yard line and beyond, and three of those were in the red zone. So that was great defense. And second of all, third down stoppage. I mean, they left the Saints on 4-for-11 on third downs with Olave and Kamara and company. Going back to the 2019 defense, which is the best I've seen live for the 49ers, there's differences. I think the biggest one is the secondary. That team had Richard Sherman, Mosley. The team had a different nickelback, which was Kayvon Williams, who was perhaps the best in the league. Safeties, Ward wasn't this Jimmy Ward, and Jaquiski Tartt wasn't Tashawn Gibson. I think this secondary, Matt, even though E-Man's not with the team anymore, is harder hitting, is more disciplined, is more in sync with what the D-line does. It just flows differently, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, the secondary, you know, losing Emmanuel Mosley was big, man. That was a big blow to this defense. But what it did do was that injury happened at the time when Jimmy Ward was coming back. And so it kind of made it a little bit seamless, and they took Diamador Lenore from the nickel back, pushed him outside to corner, and then moved Jimmy Ward into that nickel back role. And so from that sense, I do think, and this kind of sounds, I don't know, it's hard for me to say this, but I do think for this defense, Tashawn Gibson is a better free safety than Jimmy Ward because Gibson makes more plays on the ball. You know, Jimmy Ward only has 5 career interceptions, and Gibson is a guy who's kind of a ball hawk. And, you know, Talanoa Hufanga is an enforcer. I mean, that was a big hit where he came up and got the ball out of Alvin Kamara's grip, and the 49ers get that big takeaway down at the goal line. I think the linebackers are better because they're older. They're more experienced. Fred Warner's playing at a very high level. And I think the defensive line, the front line guys aren't as good, but where the 49ers are better is that they bring 8 guys at you, fresh body after fresh body, that the lower guys on the defensive line in 2019 weren't as good as the final guys kind of on the depth chart now. So it's like this kind of sum of the parts where they keep coming at you with energy, high motor. Chris Cocerico has those guys coached up,
sure,
and they really don't lose anything at all when they rotate fresh guys in.
I agree, 100%. I think the only 2 spots where you can pinpoint and say the 2019 defense is better is the Armstead-Buckner duo. This defense doesn't have that yet. We'll see when Armstead is back at some point during the season. But Bosa's better. Dee Ford was injured that year.
Yeah.
And the combination of Drake Jackson and Abu Khan and whoever is just stepping up opposite to Nick has been really good. We got to talk about Nick Bosa. 11.5 sacks. He's had at least 1 sack every single game he's played start to finish. He didn't have one against Carolina, but he came out of that game early. He sets the tone up front for the 49ers, but it's not just about getting the sack, Matt. It's, if I can get to the quarterback, I'm going to do the smart play. You can see the evolution of Nick Bosa as a defensive player, not just an edge rusher.
And I'm going to take it, not even the passing game. We know what he does in the passing game as a pass rusher. I'm going to talk about the run defense because he sets the edge. He does a remarkable job. And it's a lot of times it's kind of thankless for those defensive linemen because a lot of times it's the linebackers who are running free, unencumbered, and those are the guys who get the tackles. But I cited a couple stats to Bosa after the game, or I cited one stat. Alvin Kamara, he was 7 carries, 13 yards. And I asked Bosa, I go, what does that tell you about your defensive effort, run defense? And he said, Nick is a man of a few words, but he said, mission accomplished. And that's what it was. I mean, the 49ers run defense has been absolutely spectacular. And it was again. And that, if you can make teams one dimensional, like the 49ers do, they're going to get after it.
Yeah.
Defensively in pass rush situations on nickel downs. So that to me is probably the unheralded part of Nick Bosa's game and the entire 49ers defense, because you mentioned the sacks. Mm. Those are flashy. Those get the play. You know, the defensive player of the year is either like a guy who gets a lot of interceptions or a guy who gets a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
But the run defense, it always starts with the run defense. If the 49ers can run the ball and stop the run, they're going to be successful. They stopped the run today.
Yeah.
The Saints weren't able, or the Saints defense didn't allow the 49ers to really get going much
all. Yeah.
But when the 49ers needed it to run out the clock there at the end, they got some big first downs on the ground.
Let's flip it to the offense, Matt. There is a piece that Kyle Shanahan's offense has always had, or at least since 2019 when he built the roster more to his liking. And that's that third down target, specifically on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and long, that always shows up in time. And I think the closest thing he has had up until now was Kendrick Bourne. Different player, different receiver, but I do remember several 3rd and long, 3rd and 5, 6 yards to go, and Bourne delivering a very good catch or performance. Juwan Jennings is that and much more. He's a bigger, tougher yards after the catch receiver. The game he had on Sunday was massive, and all along that touchdown drive, Matt, was 3rd and Jennings, 3rd and Jennings.
Oh, by the way.
And much more.
By the way, I asked him, how do you like the term 3rd and Jennings? He says, I don't like it. He goes, I like 3rd and Juwan.
Oh, okay.
So now we have
to
adapt.
T-shirts now.
We have to adapt. It's now 3rd and Juwan.
Okay, so Give me your evaluation of Third and Juwan, not just on Sunday, but overall this season.
Okay, so he might be their best player, their best receiver at beating man coverage. That's where he excels, and on third downs, that's generally the looks they're getting. So that's why he's been able to excel in those situations.
And let me ask you a question. Yeah. Is he good beating man coverage, or is he good beating bad or fourth tier cornerbacks because the best corner is going to be faced off against Ayuk or Deebo or Kittle?
And I ask you, does it matter?
No, but he's getting the job done.
I would imagine that's part of it.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
part of it. But he's good. That's kind of his forte is beating man coverage because he can work those angles. He can the choice routes. He knows how to run them. And you said he's kind of like a power forward, you know, boxing out for a rebound. He knows how to use his body. So in the game Sunday, 7 targets, 6 catches, 49 yards, 1 touchdown, and then I know he had 4 receptions on third down. One of them didn't get the first down, but he had three conversions on third down passes. So that was huge to keep those chains moving, including one on the final drive.
Injuries. The 49ers had avoided them for a couple games. They showed up again on Sunday, both on offense. Elijah Mitchell, that knee, and then the ankle for Spencer Burford. Kyle Shanahan did seem a bit worried about Elijah Mitchell off the game or once the game ended. What do you know?
Okay, so Elijah Mitchell missed 8 games early in the season with a right knee injury. It was an MCL. Didn't require surgery, but it was messed up pretty bad. So he was out for 4 months or 4 weeks. Let me try that one again. He was out for
two months, eight games.
Yes. This was his left knee, as I understand it, and not nearly as serious as the first one. So I would expect him to miss a couple of games. So what does that mean? That means Christian McCaffrey is banged up too a little bit. So they'll see how he feels on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
He's got a knee inflammation, correct?
Yes. So he's, I think the 49ers are encouraged that won't be anything that sets him back. But without Mitchell, say, for a couple weeks, that means that it'll be Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Ty Davis Price, and then Tevin Coleman is still on the practice squad. If they need him, want him, they can bump him up. But the reason that Jordan Mason, by the way, Jordan Mason late in that game had some big carries,
yeah.
you know, 4 consecutive
yeah.
carries, 2 first downs. But the reason that Jordan Mason got the call and has been active ahead of Ty Davis Price, the third round draft pick, is because of special teams. So what's going to be interesting this week will be to see how the 49ers play that. Who's going to be the backup running back to McCaffrey? Will it be Mason? Will it be Ty Davis Price? Or do the 49ers say, you know what, we like the veteran. You know, we know where we're getting from. Tevin Coleman's going to be him. I just think the way that Jordan Mason played, that was very encouraging. Burford, it's not a high ankle sprain. That's good news.
Good.
What's also good news is they have a guy who can step in, who's played a lot of football,
and
Daniel Brunskill.
Absolutely.
So we'll see where this goes. But I don't think, in the big picture, I don't think those injuries are going to be something that really adversely impacts this season.
What could have been was Jimmy's left knee. That could have been, I don't want to say a season-ending injury because of the 49ers' talent on both sides of the ball. But I think both Jimmy and the Niners really dodged the bullet there.
No, that one looked bad. So he felt like he's doing okay. He'll be okay. We're going to talk to Jennifer Lee Chan a little bit later. I know she caught up with Jimmy Garoppolo in the locker room and kind of got some thoughts from him on that whole situation. And he made a point after the game to say it was Malcolm Roach who hit him low.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, dude, man, we got to take care of each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in this together. He felt like it was completely unnecessary. It was dangerous. Before you go, Carlos, 49ers improved to 7-4.
Yep.
And boy, things looked good for them in relation to the other teams
thank
in the
you,
NFC.
Raiders.
Thank you. Let's see. For the 49ers are saying thank you, Chargers. 49ers are saying thank you, Raiders. 49ers are saying thank you, Chiefs. Although, you know, Arizona is out of it.
And
the
Rams
are out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so those Rams are 3-8.
They're even hitting the coach now, Matt. Did you see that?
I did
see
that.
Sean McVay got hit by his own defensive player. It's
an
accident, though, but that sums up the Rams season in a nutshell.
About time the Rams defense started hitting somebody. Okay, and then the Cardinals are 4-8. And then, big win or big loss, I should say, for Seattle. They fall to 6-5. So the 49ers now sole possession of first place. And then 49ers, of course, play the Dolphins. They play the Buccaneers. Be interesting to find out if that game against the Buccaneers gets flexed to a Sunday night game. It should.
It's a Kansas City-Denver game that Sunday Night Football that
week.
Who
wants to see Denver?
No one.
No. Not even Nathaniel Hackett's
family.
Plus,
it's Brady coming back to the Bay. Yep. Niners on first place by that week. Whatever happens next week, they're still going to be in first place.
Yep.
The Bucs fighting for the NFC South, which is just horrible. Every team under 500.
Yep.
So it should be fun.
Yeah, just think about that. 49ers were 3-4 heading into that game against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They were in danger of falling to 3-5 for the second time in 2 years. And they win that game. They haven't lost since. Four-game winning streak, and things are looking up. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo said he feels like the team's a little bit on a roll. I'm not sure the offense was on a roll, but, man, the defense has been on a roll from day one.
I mean, last week the offense looked good. The Saints' defense is really good. I'm pretty sure they're going to get it in a groove again next week against the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It should be a great game, but we still got plenty more to talk about. Breaking down the 49ers' 13-10 victory over the New Orleans Saints, and we will be back after this word from Big O Tires. And Carlos, you'll be out. Jennifer Lee Chan will be in, and we will march on.
Big O Tires Black Friday sale is here. Get great savings on auto care services and buy 3 tires, get 1 free on select in-stock Mesa tires with installation purchase. Visit BigOTires.com for other Black Friday saving offers through December 4th. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
We are back on 49ers Talk. Matt Maiocco, Jennifer Lee Chan, and Jennifer, Carlos and I were just talking about the injury situation. It seems like the 49ers got fortunate. It doesn't seem like the Elijah Mitchell injury is nearly as serious as the one he sustained week one. Spencer Burford avoids the high ankle sprain. And boy, Jimmy Garoppolo avoided a very scary situation. Well, it was scary, but I just know the knee is not designed to bend that way. And I know you caught up with him a little bit after the game.
Yeah, they dodged a bullet, several bullets, the 49ers did. Jimmy Garoppolo really took the high road in the press conference, but he said they were doing that all game long. The Saints were hitting him. He was hit, I saw, a couple times in the head, helmet. They went after him low. That one time where he did the slow motion, people that were watching the game, that slow motion where he looked like he was screaming in pain and landed on the grass was the worst one. He did they were called for unnecessary roughness or roughing the passer. The Saints were, it was Malcolm Roach. But he said it was going on all game. And it seems to me like there's a certain group of quarterbacks that always get the roughing the passer calls. And there are some that don't. And Jimmy Garoppolo is one that doesn't get a ton of them like some do. I know Brady's one of the ones who feels like, and I don't know, I haven't done a study on it, but it feels like refs kind of protect him. I mean, he is a little older, but Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the guys that he doesn't get that call very often, but it was a really scary one.
Yeah. Garoppolo had a okay game. I think the stat sheet probably looks better than how it looked with the eyeball test.
Mm-hmm.
He missed Christian McCaffrey on that wheel route that could have gone for a big gain. I think he missed some other plays. It sounded like on that fourth down play at the goal line that maybe his eyes got a little bit too big, the courage of, hey, I think I can run it in, when he probably should have stayed with the play longer to try to get it to one of the guys in the end zone. But Jimmy Garoppolo for the game, 26 of 37, 222 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, 94.7 passer rating. And the one touchdown was kind of a little bit bizarre too, because I mean, when he lets go of that ball and I see Tyrann Mathieu going up for it, I'm thinking that's that could be an interception in the end zone.
It definitely looked like it, but Juwan Jennings caught the ball, kind of repositioned his body, caught the ball for a touchdown. That was an incredible play. I think part of the reason that Jimmy Garoppolo's stats, the passing game, wasn't as dominant as it was just 6 days ago was because they also didn't get the run game going as much as they did back then. Now, in Mexico City against the Cardinals, they had many more yards per carry today.
But that was all in the second half.
True, but they only had 3.3 yards per carry in this game, which, you know, if the run game is stifled, they're forced to throw, then they know the throws are coming. So, I mean, it, you know, it does all play off each other.
Yeah, and it just didn't look sharp to me. But also, I found it interesting. A lot of times the team will say, you know, like, oh, we killed ourselves, or we, you know, it's, we're to blame and all this. But it kind of seemed to me like the bottom line for them was they were just kind of tipping their cap to the New Orleans Saints, because that is a pretty good defense.
It is.
You know, Saints don't have a great team. Mm-hmm. You know, their win-loss record is not good. But there's some good players on that defense, and they did make it extremely difficult for the 49ers to run the ball. That's the formula, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, the Cardinals didn't get away with it because the 49ers made them pay a little bit with the short passing game mm-hmm. and the yards after the catch and all that. But the Saints clearly said, Jimmy Garoppolo tried to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Garoppolo didn't necessarily beat the Saints, but the 49ers defense certainly beat the Saints.
Wow, what a collective effort across three levels of the defense, from the defensive line to the linebackers. Fred Warner had an incredible game. And then the secondary as well. I mean, not as strong as the other two levels, but really it's one of those full defensive efforts, especially on the turnover at the goal line. Everybody was involved in that one.
Yeah, everybody touched it, I think. Yeah. Maybe on both teams.
I think so.
Yeah, and I, as I recall, Greenlaw had him, had Alvin Kamara. Hufanga is a heat-seeking missile coming out of
I think his helmet hit the ball.
Yeah, and the ball popped up. I think Jimmy Ward had a shot at it, and it kind of bounced around.
Yeah.
That would be like pinball, where you get all those points and it keeps going up against the bumpers and all that. You could see on the scoreboard the numbers kept going up and up and up and up and up. And then finally, Dre Greenlaw, who kept Kamara out of the end zone, actually ended up getting the takeaway, too.
Right.
So that was a great play from him.
I thought Nick Bosa's comment after the game was hilarious. He's like, I was watching the whole thing and didn't really know what was going on during that play.
Yeah. And then speaking of Nick Bosa, you know, 49ers preserved the shutout with Nick Bosa getting the fourth down sack. And watching it live, I thought, oh, he jumped offside. That's coming back. And the funny thing is Nick Bosa said the same thing. He said, I thought it wasn't going to stand. You know, he gets the sack. He thought they were going to, you know, march off 5 yards. And then he's looking around. There's no sack.
That's
or there's
gesture,
no flag.
Right? The shrug.
Yeah. He shrugged. He will take it. And he did watch the replay, and he said he felt like he and the left tackle got off at the exact same time. So he felt like, I mean, what's he going to say? Like, oh, yeah, I jumped offside. You know? But he felt like, you know, he timed it up pretty perfectly.
It's kind of almost retribution for how many times he gets held in a game and it's not called for him to maybe – you know, not get a call here and there.
We were talking about a third and Juwan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, the 49ers offense wasn't great by any stretch. It just wasn't explosive. Elijah Mitchell led the team in rushing. Well, I guess both he and Jordan Mason averaged 5 yards per carry. McCaffrey had a real difficult time finding any room to run.
Mm-hmm.
11 carries, 32 yards. Ayuk had 65 yards receiving. Deebo Samuel had 43 yards receiving, but just it wasn't clicking. And I would have thought, coming off of that emotional game in Mexico City on Monday night, I would have thought that the defense would have been the side of the ball most adversely affected by that, because of tired legs, energy, and defense is all about energy. And I was wrong. The defense did not look at all tired or listless.
Mm-hmm.
The offense did.
Well, part of that, I think, the good thing for the 49ers defense is in the first half, the New Orleans Saints only ran 21 plays. So they weren't on the field
they were fresh,
a lot.
Huh?
They were. They didn't have to play that much in the first half. So that gave them a little bit more energy for the staying power for the second half. I mean, I think if it was the other way around, the 49ers offense ran 41 plays in the first half. I mean, that first drive was crazy. It was 11 plays. They only went 38 yards.
Yeah.
But still, the defense is out there repeatedly. So keeping the defense fresh in that first half, I think, helped them keep the Saints out of the end zone in the second half.
Yeah, and I know people will probably say, well, 49ers, you know, the offensive line didn't create holes, but it's just that numbers thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't block everybody. If a team's putting six men on the defensive line, like the Saints did, kind of ripping a page from the Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals playbook.
Absolutely.
If you have five defensive line or five offensive linemen, you cannot block six people. I know Trent Williams is really good, but
he's not that good.
He's not that good. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he just needs to tip his plays and then he can block everybody. But here's my take on this. It wasn't a masterpiece on offense. The defense, it was. This was one of those games I felt like, as long as the 49ers win this thing, and I don't care if it's 3-2, whether it's, whatever.
Right.
A win was going to be a win. And what I mean by that is this game did not, I don't think it set itself up very well for the 49ers. And I almost expected
a letdown.
Or maybe not a letdown, but like kind of, I would say listless, like lackluster kind of performance. And that's certainly the way it was. So I just think this, it showed a lot about the 49ers, I think, how they won this game. It wasn't pretty. It was gritty.
That's exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo called it after the game. It was a gritty win.
Did he really? I don't think I heard that. Or maybe subconsciously I heard it.
I think you were sitting right behind me.
Yeah, I was just...
Not paying attention in class today. But, I mean, isn't this par for the course for the 49ers? Like, at the beginning of the season, it was the defense winning games. And then the defense didn't play that well, especially against the Chiefs. And they kind of had a little downturn. The 49ers offense picked it up.
Yeah.
And now the 49ers offense doesn't play that well, and the defense picks it up. So, it is. It's all, you hear all the complimentary football term, but really that's what the 49ers are. If one group isn't playing well, the other group has to pick up the slack, and they've been able to do that.
Yeah. Okay, and you know what we're going to be able to do?
What?
Come back for our final segment here on 49ers Talk right after this word from our sponsors.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota Hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota Hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Celebrate 9 great years at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter Anniversary Clinko Saturdays in November, up to $1 million in prizes. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Tuesdays, turn points into slot play. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, win up to $15,000 in the 9th anniversary slot tournaments. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
FitAid Energy plus Sports Recovery, the energy drinks for athletes, the number one workout recovery blend in America, is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. FitAid Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories. No sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. This naturally sweetened clean energy plus sports recovery blend is now available in 4 electric flavors. Visit FitAidEnergy.com for exclusive savings. November is Headstrong Month. This initiative is sponsored by Cal Hope with NBC Sports Bay Area. The Cal Hope Together for Wellness website has easy-to-navigate wellness tools, including ones that educate and provide stress management and coping skills. For that information and more, visit calhope.org today. So, Jennifer, we do this thing. It's called 49ers Overreactions by Toyota.
People overreact?
I think they will. They did not overreact after the game against the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling because of the offense, there will be some overreactions about the red zone offense or the running game or the sustainability of the formula of just the defense carrying the load. So, I don't know. Were there any? Let me ask you this. I know you were in the locker room after the game. What was your reaction from the players inside the locker room, because that seemed like a pretty physical game? What were guys saying?
I think there was a relief. It was a relief in the locker room. Guys are nicked up. I saw Spencer Burford in a walking boot, but he said it's not terrible. Same thing with Christian McCaffrey. He said nothing bad. I think there's going to be a lot of recovery going on Monday. They're going to players are going to come back. They're going to have to do a lot of physical therapy. Jimmy Garoppolo said the same thing. He was at his locker room. Brian Greasy, quarterback's coach, came up to me. He's like, hey, man, are you okay? He's like, yeah, it's nothing bad. And then he looked over at me, and I'm like, I'll let you guys talk.
But come on, Jennifer. You got to get
I
in
know,
there.
Right in there.
Get your two cents worth in there.
But they both kind of looked at me. I'm like, ah, I gotcha. So, but he said it's nothing bad. I think he's like, tomorrow's going to be fun. In a sarcastic way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of physical therapy for Jimmy Garoppolo, and that left knee, it did not look good.
No.
I mean, it looked really painful, but I think, you know, I don't think he's going to miss any time. I thought it was also interesting what he said after the game. He's like, I wasn't going to go out. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, why this 49ers locker room really loves Jimmy Garoppolo. His ability to stay in the game, you know, he takes a bunch of hits. And I know that Christian McCaffrey said it after the game in the locker room. He's like, man, he's got a lot of respect for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's told me previously that he doesn't understand why there is a little lack of respect for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's come in, he's like, man, I was surprised by how professional he is, how tough he is. That he throws a great ball, like all of it. Christian McCaffrey's been really impressed by Jimmy.
Okay, so you ready for the report card?
Sure.
Okay, rushing offense. You know, 49ers did average 3.3 yards per carry.
Yes.
It was kind of rough. They did get those big yards late in the game to run out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
C+.
All right.
Yeah.
It wasn't spectacular.
No.
It was enough to get the job done, which is a C+.
Yes. And speaking of enough to get the job done, the passing offense, I mentioned Garoppolo's stat line, no interceptions. That's the big one, even though he did have that one interception, but
right.
It was called back. And they said, Jimmy said after the game that Ray McLeod was held. The ball was going to McLeod and he couldn't understand where McLeod was.
Mm-hmm.
And it went right to the defensive back for the Saints. And then when he found out that he'd been held, it all made sense. So theoretically, that's not an interception if McLeod isn't held.
Right, and that's one of those things where all of us outside the building, without playbooks in our hand, not knowing what's called, you know, Jimmy does get a bad rap for like there's that one throw where it's
the
off.
Old Jimmy,
right? The old Jimmy, not the new Jimmy, but we don't know as outsiders without the playbook.
Yeah.
Is it really his fault, or is it, like this time, it was Ray McLeod's fault? Well, not fault, but because he was being held. So I think sometimes, you know, quarterbacks, you know, they take the blame. They take the high road. They take all the blame because that's, you know, what their job is. But a lot of the times.
I think we're in the middle of a flight pattern.
We
here.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the 49ers have taken flight with four consecutive victories. And more on the passing offense.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really don't consider them giving up a sack. The offensive line kept him protected pretty well, other
yes.
than, you know, he took some hits, as you mm-hmm. as you mentioned. The one play where there was a quote-unquote sack, an official sack,
mm-hmm.
I think Jimmy could have gotten rid of that ball or stayed with the pass play in the end zone longer. But he thought, I can run for it. I can get that touchdown on fourth and goal. He got stopped. A yard behind the line of scrimmage, so that's considered a sack. But 49ers, you know, they haven't been giving up very many sacks. So passing offense, because of the one touchdown, because of some third down conversions to third and Juwan, I'm giving the passing offense a B-.
Yeah, that's about where I would put it.
Now, this is easy. Rushing defense, they held the Saints to 2.9 yards a carry. Andy Dalton was the leading rusher on this
game. That's crazy. When you have a player like Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mission accomplished, Nick Bosa said. That's an A.
Mm-hmm.
Passing defense. Oh, by the way, rushing defense created a takeaway on a forced fumble.
Mm-hmm.
The passing defense created a takeaway on a forced fumble as well. They kept him out of the end zone. To me, that's an A for
mm-hmm.
the passing defense. Nick
Agreed.
Bosa with the big play. Fred Warner with some nice plays. Of course, we talked about the Talanoa Fanga and Dre Greenlaw as well. Special teams was just kind of nondescript.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Gould accounted for 7 of the 13 points with 2 field goals, an extra point. Wisnowski was fine, 39.3 yards net average on 4 punts. And I always cite the net average because that takes into account the coverage team and where Wisnowski is directionally punting and enabling those guys to go down there and make tackles. He had 2 inside the 20.
That one punt.
Oh, that was – that. I don't think – I don't think he drew it up that way.
I don't think so either.
That was like me on the.
That was a line drive.
That was like me on the tee with like people watching me. Like that thing was just. I called it a worm killer.
Yes.
Which it definitely was. Yeah, that was that might have been the ugliest punt he's ever had in his career. But you know what? It was like a 43-yard punt. Yeah. When that thing took off, it was like going end over end. It was like a tumbleweed. I thought that thing was just going to, oh my gosh, is this going to be like a 75-yard punt just like rolling down the
field? I mean, the returner was definitely surprised.
Yeah, I think everybody was. Probably Mitch Wishnowsky was the most surprised. I give special teams a B. Coaching, hey, if you like D'Amico Ryans, be thankful that he's on your team for the next, 6 more weeks of the regular season and how many ever playoff games they have, because I cannot imagine a scenario where he's back with the 49ers next season.
And I thought it was great. The broadcast showed him congratulating every player on the bench, on the defense, after they had that one goal line stop. And that's why his players love him. They all do. They have a ton of respect for him. I mean, I don't think there's any way that he's not a head coach by the end of or the beginning of next season.
Yeah. So I give coaching an A minus. You know, the defense was, they pitched a perfect game. Mm-hmm. The offense still has a lot of room for improvement.
Yes.
They just got to, you know, get into the end zone. And overall, A minus.
Yeah.
Yeah. The defense was so dominant. And they made up for any issues on offense with this 13-0 victory, 49ers over the New Orleans Saints, and the 49ers are looking good. You know, I think Jimmy Garoppolo said it himself after the game. He said, we're in a good spot. We just got to keep this thing rolling. And when you look around the league and you see teams riding that roller coaster, and 49ers, you know, they haven't done the just, you know, 1 week they're here, the next week they're up there. The difference with this game was this was a offensive lull, but they still won.
Right.
And when you can get through a game like that where things aren't clicking on one side of the ball like they weren't clicking for the offense and you still get that victory, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yes. The fact that they have gone 4-0 in the last four games is really saying something, because you see – last year, for instance, the Cardinals, were they 8-0, 9-0 to start?
Yeah, I think they were 8-0.
And then they didn't even make the playoffs. So it really is, timing is everything, and the 49ers' timing is good right now, and the fact that they have the record that they have going into this next series of games, this is a big one coming up. This is a big one with the Dolphins coming in. It's Mike McDaniels coming in.
It's going to be fun.
It is.
It's not – I think as long as the 49ers – all they have to do at this point is just hold serve. You know, they're right now, they're 7-4.
Right.
They have 6 games left. They go 3-3, they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the expectations are much greater than that.
Right.
They expect to be much better than 3-3 going down the home stretch here. The Dolphins game should be fun. Maybe it's kind of one of those GPS games for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins going on the road. They're like, hey, how good are we?
Mm-hmm.
49ers having a good, explosive team come in. Tyreek Hill, Tua, who's the former 49ers, said about Raheem Mostert, right?
Saying about and how, Jeff Wilson,
talking
Jr.
about how Tua will sling it around the field. I don't think he said it quite like this, but unlike Jimmy Garoppolo,
right?
But that's the Dolphins' formula is to use the speed, get the ball down the field. The 49ers winning formula is to get the ball out quickly, short passes into the hands of their playmakers and let them do the work. And it's hard to argue with either formula because they've both been pretty successful.
This is going to be an interesting matchup because the two head coaches know each other so well. So it's going to be an interesting chess match between Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniels. I mean, they have worked together for decades.
Yeah.
They know each other very well. So not only that, the players know each other well. Not only is it Raheem Mostert, it is Jeff Wilson Jr.
It's Trent Sherfield.
Trent Sherfield, River Craycraft. So, I mean, there's a lot of players from the 49ers.
Yeah, and what's interesting, we'll see how, you know, it's not going to be the rivalry that it is 49ers and Rams.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. I mean, those teams are playing each other twice a year, mm-hmm. and Shanahan clearly has the upper hand over Sean McVay. But I just wonder if there's anything to Kyle Shanahan having some dominance over guys that he basically trained mm-hmm. and guys who learned, you know, a lot of about what they know about football from Kyle Shanahan. And if Kyle Shanahan can, you know, he's kind of cracked the code of Sean McVay, mm-hmm. I wonder if there will be, I mean, we see how, you know, Sean McVay is like at the combine or the NFL owners yes. meetings, there's this kind of big brother, little brother thing. And it's very similar dynamic, probably even more so when you're talking about Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel. I think Mike McDaniel's done a wonderful job. I don't necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily have predicted that, but I'm happy for him. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. The thing I like most about Mike McDaniel is that he is true to himself. He's quirky as heck, and he hasn't changed at all since he's become the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Well, that's part of Kyle Shanahan's philosophy. That's what Kyle has always said when he became a head coach. He's like, don't lose track of who you are. Always be you. Mm-hmm. Then that's a winning formula.
Yeah.
Be who you are. Don't try to be anyone else. And I think that's something that his dad said to him back in the day. So it's working out for everybody.
Yeah. You know what I like about you, Jennifer?
What?
You are always you. And I know you're always you because you're here every week, twice a week, 49ers Talk. And we'll be back in the middle of the week to further break down this intriguing matchup, Week 13, 49ers and the Miami Dolphins. Once again, 49ers beat the New Orleans Saints 13-0. 49ers strengthened their grip on first place in the NFC West.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.